We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 37. Luke, chapter 9, and the verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly cried out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Amen. We'll end at verse 45, knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Tonight, we want to speak on the subject of liberating the lunatic. Liberating the lunatic. And of course, it's about the story that is presented here in our Bible reading. Before we bring the message, let's ask the Lord for his help as we seek him again in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the Word of God. We bless thee that it is inspired of heaven. It has the dew of the Holy Ghost upon it. We bless thee that it is spirit and it is life. We thank thee it is quickening and powerful. And O God our Father, we pray that tonight this word will quicken dead souls, raising them to newness of life in Christ, bringing to them the knowledge of sins forgiven and the experience of being transformed out of the darkness of this world. Hear our prayer, we pray, and grant us thy help and anointing, because we ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. This story is based upon Luke's account in Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 43. And it would seem that the key sentence of the miracle is in the first part of verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. This child's deliverance was the result of a mighty demonstration of the power of God. And quite naturally, everyone was amazed at what had happened. And so would we today if we witnessed a similar working of the Lord in our midst. We too would be amazed at the mighty power of God. And of course, we should be amazed at that great power when a soul comes to Christ. And we should be glad in seeing God at work in the hearts of men, women, children, and young people. We would ask you to read this account, as well as Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21, and Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. And by reading all three accounts in these three Gospels, you will get the full picture of the entire incident that happened when Jesus Christ was here upon earth. And tonight, as we look at Luke's Gospel, there are four things I would like to draw attention to. There is the plight of the child. And then there is the plea of the parent. There is also the predicament of the disciples. And finally, there is the power of the Savior. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 15, it is said there that the father called his boy a lunatic. That's why we entitle the message, Liberating the Lunatic. Even the boy's father designates his son as a lunatic. And verse 18 tells us that Jesus delivered the child by rebuking the devil. So we'll notice those sayings. And going into Mark chapter 9 and the verse 17, we're told that the boy was possessed by a dumb spirit. So here is a three-way description in the three Gospels of this young child. He is a lunatic. He is devil-possessed. And he has a dumb spirit. Truly, this was a case of demon possession. And the description given of the boy's condition reminds us of the natural man, the unregenerate man, in his state of sin. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and verses 2 and 3, we find the state of sinners as they are naturally born. It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the power, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there we have a description of natural man. We have a description of unregenerate man. Unregenerate people are under the dominion of Satan. They are of their father, the devil. Now, that's not a very popular thing to say today. It's not a very ready received teaching or doctrine. But it is scriptural truth. It is Bible correctness to tell men and women that they are under the dominion of the devil, that they are of their father, the devil. Every unsaved person is controlled by a spirit of evil, just as this boy was controlled by an evil spirit. If you read verses 39 and 42, you discover there a description of the way in which Satan controls the lives of men and women in their natural, unregenerate state. And here we do see the plight of the child. And what a plight it really is. Look at verse 39. It says, "He taketh him." This gives us the idea of captivity. Satan takes the unregenerate into captivity. The snare of the devil, taken captive by him at his will. Here's a young fella, and he is snared by the devil, captive by the devil, in the devil's hands. He needs liberation. He needs to be set free. He needs deliverance. His state is shocking. My dear friend, if you're out of Christ tonight, and you know not the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is a description, spiritually speaking, of you. And you're in a shocking state. And you need deliverance. You need salvation. You need to be liberated. And you need to be set free from the law of sin and of death. Notice what it says. "And he taketh him," giving us the idea of captivity. And then look again, it says, "He teareth him." Teareth him. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we read about the devil going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Devouring by tearing. You ever watch the wildlife programs? And when the lion catches its prey, it just tears its prey apart. You've seen that? The devil teareth him. Teareth him. Oh, the devil is at his work today. We see the devil tearing young people through drugs. Their minds are torn apart. Their bodies are torn apart. Their very souls are torn apart. And when we get into contact with drug addicts and speak to them, it's only then one begins to recognize their state and their condition. They're being torn by the devil. The roaring lion is devouring them. We think of the alcoholic, and what's the booze doing to the alcoholic? It's tearing him apart. It's devouring him and leading him, body, soul, and spirit, down to the pit of eternal damnation. My dear friend, sin is a terrible thing. And to be under the sin's master, who is the devil, is a shocking state. Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you've had experience of it, but thank God for the delivering power of God's Son. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, and he sets the prisoner free, and his blood can make the foulest clean, and his blood avails for me. How we're thankful to the Lord for so great salvation. Notice again verse 39. It kept on bruising him. Bruising him. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it speaks about the thief. The thief cometh but to kill and to destroy. And here is the devil bruising this lunatic. tearing him apart and taking him into captivity. What a picture of the sinner. What a picture of the man or woman, young person, boy or girl, out of Christ. What a picture. And then it says, hardly departeth from him. Never a moment's ease. I think of the drug addict again, and those that I have had contact with. I tell you, friend, there's hardly a moment's ease. Hardly a break. The devil never departs. Is it not the same with the alcoholic? Or with the worldly minded, sin seeking soul in the grip of the devil? He hardly departeth. Hardly a moment's freedom. There's torture all the way until that person is taken finally into the abode of the enemy. What a picture. Take care and beware lest you end there and that you find that your everlasting portion. Thank God there's deliverance tonight. The one who could deliver this lunatic and liberate him is here. He's in the chapter. He has come to the foot of the mountain where all of this was taking place. He has come into the very sight and presence of the Father and the Son in great need here of this family. And the Lord Jesus has come to meet the need. Oh, let's be very careful tonight that we don't give place to the devil. And don't let the devil have his way in the destruction and tearing apart of your life. But come to the Savior. Don't make any delay. Wash in the cleansing blood. Let the foulest come. And let all experience the deliverance that is in the Lord Jesus. Notice the plea of the parent here. Think, for example, how you would feel if your child was in this same mental and physical condition that this young person here was in. Surely you would be filled with anguish, and you would be filled with deep concern. Verse 38 tells us of the plea of the parent, the father, on this occasion. A plea that was sincere, a plea that was definite, a plea that was urgent, and yet in many respects it was a plea that was pathetic. Why? Because he was pleading for his only son, his only child. Can you enter into the picture? Can you place yourself in this instance? It is great to hear a child pray and to ask God's forgiveness for his or her sins and to ask Christ to come into his or her heart. My friend, here we have a parent praying for his son. We have a man praying for his child in verse 38. My, wouldn't there be fewer prodigal sons today if there were fewer prodigal parents who would take the time to pray that God would save young people? What a challenge to all of us who profess to love the Lord to come to the prayer meeting to get before the Lord at home in private prayer and to wrestle with God in earnestness, that God would deliver the lunatic sinners and save them out of the pit into which they have fallen. And mind you, those pits are deep, and they are many, and many have fallen therein. There's a great need to pray. Ask the Lord to give you a burden, earnestness, and even brokenness and tears as we think of the great need around us today. Here is a father making a plea to Christ on behalf of his son. And God heard him. The Lord Jesus heard him. And friends, that's the wonderful thing. If you would only place the need before the Lord, God will hear you. You may have to persist and keep on praying and not giving up, but at the same time believing that God will hear and answer prayer and God will bring deliverance. Children are growing up today in an age where Christ is rejected. Children are growing up today in a land that once loved the gospel, in neighborhoods where Christ was preached and where the fear of God was felt. Nowadays, in this age of compromise, in this age of the spirit of Antichrist, that fear of God is not the same as it used to be. And in many instances, it's not even there at all. Oh, we need to ask the Lord to help us to get back that spirit of the fear of God, that the church might become the salt of the earth, that we might indeed be the light for the Lord in the dark world, that others seeing might begin to fear the Lord again. May God make his church a mighty army. May we rise up from the valley of dry bones with the very breath of God breathed into our soul, the very vitality of heaven making us to go forward, marching as a great army, bringing fear and dread to the enemy. That's how it was in the days of our forefathers, and even in the days of my father and grandfather, there was that fear in the midst in the land. Let us ask God to restore it unto us again, that the generation rising might come under its influence and be led to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in their lives. The plight of the child and the plea of the parent. What about the predicament of the disciples? Verse 40 would tell us about that predicament and what a sad reading it makes, and how true these words are in the experience of so many of God's people. The whole verse speaks of failure. It says they could not. In spite of verse 1 of this chapter, these disciples could not. Look what the Lord did in verse 9, or verse 1 of this chapter. He called his 12 disciples together. And what did he do? He gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases, and they sent them out to preach Christ, to preach the kingdom of God. That's what he did. And in spite of verse 1, here we find the disciples helpless and in a hopeless situation. You know something? In spite of all the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people, and in spite of what God has done for his redeemed church, the body of Christ, oh, we just stand like the disciples at the foot of the mount, helpless in the face of the onslaughts of the enemy. Scared of the roaring lion, afraid of the angel of light, powerless and helpless to do anything to stem the tide of iniquity, the tide of modernism, the tide of ecumenism, the tide of sin. Oh, it's coming in like a flood. And only the Spirit of God can raise up the standard against that flood. We cannot do it of ourselves. We need the power of God. And that's what these disciples needed. There was lack of faith on their part, according to verse 41. They had no faith to believe that the Lord could work through them and use them for the deliverance of this needy child. They couldn't believe it, according to verse 1. There was lack of prayer, according to Matthew 17 and verse 21. Because Jesus said, this kind goeth forth, but only by prayer and fasting. And there's no mention of it here. And so there was lack of prayer. Any wonder the church is powerless today? There's lack of faith. There's lack of prayer. And that leads to lack of power. And we need that restored unto us again. We need the power of God. But thank God for the power of the Savior. In verses 41 and 42. And in these verses, there is the glorious fact that God's power is still the same today as it was then. God hasn't changed. Let us face this question as we conclude our message tonight. Has the Lord Jesus Christ altered or changed? Has God changed? Is the Holy Spirit less powerful today than he was in the days when Christ was upon earth? Again, is the Word of God less effective today than in former days? In Psalm 110, in the verse 3, we read these words, thy people, God's people, shall be willing in the day of thy power. And therefore the question turns to us tonight, are we willing? Are you willing? Am I willing? Are we willing to go through with God? That same verse, Psalm 110 verse 3, ends up with saying, thou hast the dew of thy youth. You remember how exuberant you were in your youth? How agile and fit you were? Let's translate that into spiritual youth. You remember how fit you were as a young Christian when you first came to Jesus Christ? How strong you were for God? How agile in doing God's errands? How You were doing the will of God. You were reading. You were praying. You were witnessing. You were excited. You were taken up with the gospel. It thrilled your soul. You enjoyed it. Oh, it says, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Oh, may the dew of the Holy Spirit upon us in those days return. And the psalmist said, he will renew our youth as the eagles, and even cause us again to rise up like the eagle and soar into the heavens. My, what an experience that would be, to be seated again in heavenly places in Christ, enjoying all that he has for us. That's the challenge. Will you rise to that challenge? The question we ask ourselves is this: are we his people tonight willing, in the day of his power? This is the day of God's power. It is still the day of grace. Is his church willing to take up the challenge? The day of the mighty power of God. And when the disciples saw this, what Christ had done, and the father of the child saw it, and those that were standing around saw it, were told that they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Oh, may such amazement return. May we see it in our day, and may God be pleased to grant it. Let's bow in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Speak with that voice that opens the eyes of all of us as thy people. And grant, O God, we will leave this place in the knowledge we have been face to face with Jesus Christ. We've been challenged by thy word. And, O God, help us to go forth and to please thee in all things. Bring the sinner now to Christ. Bring the backslider to the Savior. Lord, do a work, defeat the devil, and grant victory. For Christ's sake, amen.